Hello everybody, I'm back with another video in the series Defending the New IFB against the slanderous attacks by many adversaries, whether they be, you know, even brothers in Christ who just hate us for whatever reason, or false Christians or whoever. And today I want to talk about another very controversial subject, something that the New IFB is known for and hated for, and that is the subject of hate, right? We're constantly accused of being a hate group and the New IFB pastors of being hate preachers, right? My own church, Faithful Word Baptist Church, is labeled as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And, you know, I myself have been labeled as hateful by some people. You know, people will constantly attack our church and say, you know, you're a hate group, you speak hate speech, et cetera, mostly because of our stance on reprobates, on sodomites. And if you want to know what the Bible says about that, watch the last video I uploaded, right? So this is something that people are constantly attacking us for, and it's based on this false doctrine, this idea that exists today that we as Christians should just love everybody no matter what unconditionally, even though the Bible never teaches this a single time. You cannot find a single verse in the Bible that teaches that God loves everybody without any condition and that we should love everybody, right? Now, the Bible does say to love your neighbor, to love your personal enemies, those who persecute you and attack you. And it does tell us to, you know, love one another, meaning other Christians, right? Love the brethren, right? So in general, yes, we as Christians should be loving. We should have charity. We should love one another. But the Bible never says to love every single individual in the world, no matter how wicked they are. And I'm going to show you from the Bible today, number one, that God does hate people, that there's nothing wrong with Christians hating those who hate God. And in fact, this is a biblical principle. And number three, I want to define what biblical love is, because people have hijacked this term love as meaning just putting up with all kinds of wickedness and just excusing sin and just never saying anything bad about anybody. That's what people think love is today. But we should get our definition of love as Christians from the Bible, not from what the world thinks. Because according to 1 John chapter 4, the world doesn't even know what love is, right? They are not born of God. Only those who are born of God have true love. So let's look at these scriptures today. And again, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you should just believe what the Bible says. You shouldn't just deny it and, you know, try to please the world. This whole idea that, you know, God only hates sin, but he just loves all sinners and he just doesn't hate anybody is not found in the Bible. And I'm going to show you very clear scriptures that clearly state that God hates people. Now, the only scripture which you could possibly even twist to teach that God loves everybody would probably be John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world," right? Now, I want to make the point that it does not say God so loved the world, still loves the world, and always will love the world. That's not what it says. It says God so loved the world, that's past tense, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God's love in this verse is defined as that he gave his son so that we could be saved through him, right? So God so loved the world is something that was an event that took place by him sending his son. That already happened. The Bible never says that God will always love anybody, everybody. And I'll show you this from the scriptures, that the Bible teaches that God hates certain people. And there are certain people who would even says God will love them no more, right? So let's look at what the scripture say. And again, go into this with an open mind. If you're a Christian, just believe what the Bible says and stop believing what the world says, right? Stop getting your doctrines from popular phrases like hate the sin, love the sinner. That's from Gandhi, not from the Bible. So let's see what the Bible, the word of God says. Psalm 5, verse 5 to 6. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Now, abhor is a synonym for hate. So we see two back-to-back verses that says God hates all workers of iniquity, and then again says that the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Now, before I move on to some of these other scriptures, I want to make the point that according to the Bible, when Jesus cast people into hell and cast them out of the kingdom, he talks about this in Matthew chapter 7, and I believe also Luke 13, he calls them workers of iniquity, right? He says in Matthew, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And then in the parallel passage in Luke, he says, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." So according to the Bible, the people who Jesus cast out of the kingdom and says, go to hell, basically, he says that they are workers of iniquity. And the Bible says in Psalm 5 that God hates all workers of iniquity. Now, this is consistent because anybody who is not insane would understand that God sending people to burn in hell for all of eternity is not something loving to do. You see, if I went out and I lit somebody on fire, everybody would say, I don't love that person. And you'd be right to say that, because anybody who loves another person is not going to torture somebody in fire. So no, God does not love everybody that is in hell. God hates those who are in hell. That is why they're burning in fire and torment, and you know, they're being consumed forever by the flames of the wrath of God, because God hates them. And I'm going to show you more scriptures on this in just a moment. So Psalm 10, verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Psalm 11, verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Hosea chapter 9, verse 15, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. So he says, I hated them, I will love them no more. Just in case you misunderstand what it means to hate, right? He doesn't say, I hate them and I love them at the same time, or I just love them less. No, he says, I will love them no more. I hated them, right? And then he talks about how he's going to destroy them also. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit, yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away, because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. So sounds like these people in Ephraim, that God doesn't love them anymore. He hates them. And that's why he says he will cast them away, right? Very clear. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 19. Another very clear scripture. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, right? Now, even though it says things, if you pay attention, two of the things that are mentioned in this passage are people, right? So here are the six, yea, seven that are abomination, meaning something that causes disgust or hatred unto God, right? Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. So far, these are things, these are sins, these are actions, right? But then verse 19 says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So according to the Bible, God hates a false witness that speaketh lies, and he, that's a person, he that soweth discord among brethren. So the Bible says, if you sow discord among brethren, if you're a false witness that speaketh lies, the Bible says, you are an abomination unto God. Here are some other scriptures which say that people are an abomination. Not actions, but people are an abomination. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 to 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which retaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So according to the Bible, these people who do these things are an abomination. And again, the word abomination means something which causes disgust or hatred. And you can look up this definition anywhere online. This is the definition of abomination. Okay, so according to the Bible, people who are cross-dressers, people who are wizards, consulters with familiar spirits, enchanters, people who use divination, all this kind of, you know, witchcraft and sorcery. According to the Bible, these people are an abomination unto God, meaning God hates them, right? And false witnesses and workers of iniquity and those that sow discord among brethren. The Bible says God hates them. It's just what the Bible says. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Leviticus 26, verse 30, and I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. Proverbs 22, verse 14, the mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. So we have 11 verses. I think this is 10 or 11, something like that, verses which clearly state that people are an abomination to God. God abhors people. He says, my soul shall hate that man. My soul shall abhor you. He says, you are an abomination. He says, I will love you no more. I hated them. I hate them. I hate workers of iniquity, etc. So how can you say that God loves everybody? If you believe that, even after hearing these scriptures, then just admit that you deny the Bible and you don't believe the truth. You don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, because this is what the Word of God says. It's not even my interpretation, because it's just what it plainly says. It says, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. If you say, no, God doesn't hate anybody, then you're just saying that you don't believe the Bible. So stop denying the Bible and start believing the Word of God. Not only does the Bible never say that God loves everybody, and it clearly states that God does hate people, but the Bible also never teaches that it is wrong for us to hate anybody as Christians. Yes, the Bible does say to love your personal enemies. Yes, it does say to love your neighbor, to love one another, speaking about other Christians. But I will show you right now from the Bible that the Bible tells us that we should hate those who hate God. Psalm 139, verses 19 to 24. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay, now this is a psalm, meaning it is the word of God, meaning it's spoken by the Holy Ghost through the mouth of David. According to the book of Acts, whenever it quotes from the book of Psalms, people who are quoting from David say that the Holy Ghost spoke this by the mouth of David. Because the book of Psalms is not just David's opinions, it's not just what he thinks, it's still the word of God. Okay, again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That includes the book of Psalms. So if the Bible says that David, a man according to God's own heart, hates those that hate the Lord, and he hates them with perfect hatred, then why would it be wrong for us as Christians to do the same? Right? So we, in the new IFB, we say that we hate those who hate God, which would be reprobates, as I showed in the previous video. Go watch that if you don't remember, or if you didn't watch it. Where I showed you from the Bible, according to Romans chapter 1, the people who are reprobates are haters of God. Okay, the Bible says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not aggrieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. Not only this, but as I believe I also talked about in one of the previous videos, the Bible literally commands us in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3 to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So the Bible commands us to sing psalms, and this is an example of a psalm that we sing within our church. So in our church, we've set Psalm 139, the latter portion of it, to music. And we sing this in our church. And then people criticize us for singing, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Right? Even though it's literally in the Bible, it's literally a commandment of God to sing psalms. And then people will attack us and criticize us for singing songs about hating those who hate the Lord, when it's literally part of the scriptures and it's commanded to sing these psalms. It's ridiculous that people are against this, right? Here's another clear scripture that teaches that we should not love people who hate God. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 1 to 2. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. So the prophet of God, Jehu, says to Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore, meaning for this reason, for the reason that he helped the ungodly, for the reason that he loved the person who hate the Lord, he says, wrath is upon thee from before the Lord. So, you know what? I don't want God to be angry at me, so I'm not going to love those who hate God. And if you love those who hate God, the Bible says, God's wrath will be upon you. Right? So, no, we shouldn't love people who hate God. We shouldn't love reprobates. Proverbs 29, verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. So again, according to the Bible, if you're just, you should hold somebody who is unjust in abomination, right? Another clear scripture, Isaiah 66, verse 24. This is talking about the new heaven and the new earth. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Again, what does the word abhor mean? It means to hate. Now, let me explain to you that in the context of this passage, it's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. And as we know from other scriptures in the New Testament, in the new heaven, the new earth, we already have our resurrected, glorified bodies that are without sin, without corruption. So at this point, when we look at those who are in the lake of fire and they're abhorring unto us, at that point, we're without sin. So is it hateful or, well, it is hateful because it says it's abhorring, but is it wrong to hate people who are in hell when the Bible says that's what we're going to do when we're already glorified and without sin in the kingdom of heaven? So how can you say that hate is always wrong? I just showed you a few clear scriptures that teach that we as Christians should hate unjust, ungodly, haters of God, workers of iniquity, people who are burning in hell. The Bible says that we are going to hate those who are in hell. This is just a fact. Now I want to talk about what biblical love is, because again, as I mentioned at the beginning of this video, people will try to redefine love based on the standards of the world and not based on the biblical idea of what love is. So I want to talk about a few scriptures just to go over what the Bible says love is. Firstly, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter about charity, which is just another word for love, gives us an explanation of what charity looks like. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So in verse 6, the Bible says that charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. So people will say we're unloving and we're unkind and we hate people because we preach against sin. But according to the Bible, charity does not rejoice in iniquity. Okay, you're not loving if you put up with sin, according to the Bible. Now, another scripture that people will kind of twist to try to, you know, say that we're unloving and that we're ungodly because we, you know, we hate those who hate the Lord would be in Matthew chapter 5, where it talks about loving your enemies. And I kind of referenced this already a little bit, but I didn't really go into detail about the subject of loving your enemies, about how this passage clearly teaches that we should love our personal enemies. Okay. This does not say to love every single person who is an enemy of God, because God's enemies and our enemies are two different things. Okay. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 46. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? So notice how the statements of Jesus, the commands, regard those who persecute you and who despitefully use you and who hate you and who curse you, okay? This is talking about personal enemies. So if somebody attacks me personally, somebody just doesn't like me, hates me personally, I as a Christian am supposed to love them and not repay evil for evil, okay? That is what the scripture is teaching. But this does not say that those who are wicked, violent predators, workers of iniquity, who hate God and who hate everybody, I should just love them. The Bible never says that anywhere. And they say, oh, well, the Bible says to love one another. No, no, this is talking about believers, because it says in John 13, verse 35, when Jesus says this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Okay, so he's talking to disciples. He's talking to his people. He's talking to Christians, not just everybody. He's not saying, well, you'll know who is a disciple based on the fact that you love everybody. No, the Bible never says that Christians are supposed to love everybody. It says disciples love one to another. Okay, so you know what? I love the people within my church. Okay, I love other Christians. I love other believers, but I don't love people who hate God and who blaspheme the Lord and who hate the truth and who hate the Bible, people who are reprobates. I don't love those people. I hate them because they hate the Lord just like David did, Psalm 139. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So this is the passage that, again, people will kind of twist a lot, because they say, well, look, the Bible says God is love, and the Bible says that if you love, then you're born of God, etc. But again, love in the Bible is not what the Bible is, not what people in this world say is love, but it's according to the Bible. I mean, God's love was that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, right? That he sacrificed himself for us, right? This is biblical love. Okay, the Bible never says love is just excusing sin and just, you know, never just saying anything bad about anybody like these people will try to say love is. And then also it continues in the next chapter, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So the Bible tells us that everyone that is born of God loveth, right? In 1 John chapter 4. And then the Bible tells us what loving is, right? It says that by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, right? And what is loving God? Keeping his commandments, according to verse 3, right? So if you, as a Christian, do not keep God's commandments, then you don't love God and you don't love the children of God. According to the Bible, this is what it says. How do we know that we love the children of God? Because we love God and keep his commandments. So if you are disobeying God's commandments, if you're living a life that's ungodly and sinful, then you're not loving. That's what the Bible says. So is loving just excusing every single behavior and just saying we can just do whatever we want, which is how people will try to portray love today? No. Loving is doing what's right, actually helping people, actually caring for people, not rejoicing in iniquity, but rejoicing in truth, right? Keeping God's commandments, loving God with all your heart and soul and mind, right? This is biblical love. And the Bible also teaches that love is the fulfilling of the law. Not that love is a replacement for the law, as these people will falsely teach, because people, for some reason, they don't understand the concept of loving your neighbor. They think that loving your neighbor, again, just means to never do anything bad, or never like say anything bad about anybody and just love everybody. When loving your neighbor, according to the Bible, is fulfilling the law, doing what God says. So let me show you. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So the Bible says that love is the fulfilling of the law, because if you love somebody, you're not going to kill them, you're not going to commit adultery with their wife, you're not going to steal from them, covet what they have, and all these other things, right? If you're truly loving, then you're going to not work ill to your neighbor. Okay, so that's what the Bible says love is. Okay, so these people are hypocrites when they, you know, these people, like, for example, who are complete anti-law, and you know, they say, oh, we're legalists, and you know, it's all just about love and it's not about the rules and all that kind of stuff. Well, according to the Bible, the rules, the commandments are love. Okay, you don't love God if you don't keep his commandments. You don't love the children of God if you don't keep his commandments. And if you're not doing what the law says, then you don't love your neighbor either, because love is the fulfilling of the law, right? And what's also funny is that people will accuse us of trying to, you know, bring people back under the law by teaching God's commandments. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, you're a legalist and, you know, you're teaching that the, you know, that we should be under the law and all this kind of stuff, which is completely not true. And I've debunked this in previous videos, and it's just another false accusation, a lie. But this is what people say. But then they still think that loving your neighbor is a good thing, when literally the only time besides Romans chapter 13, when the New Testament talks about loving your neighbor, it's literally talking about the Old Testament, because loving your neighbor did not originate in the New Testament. It's something that's part of the Mosaic law. It's literally in the book of Leviticus, right? So they'll say, oh, well, you're hateful and, you know, you're bad because you hate people because you preach the commandments of God and you preach that people should be put to death and things like that. But literally all the commandments about putting people to death and all this kind of stuff is literally in the midst of the scripture that says to love your neighbor as yourself, which is in Leviticus chapter 19. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I want to read from Matthew chapter 22, which is when Jesus says to love your neighbor, right? Because people, everybody knows that Jesus said this, but they don't really know what the context is. The context is that somebody asks him, what is the greatest commandment in the law, right? Matthew 22, verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And what's funny is that the people who are, you know, show this fake love, they always forget about this one, right? The fact that Jesus said loving the Lord thy God is the number one commandment. And then he says loving your neighbor is the second greatest commandment, right? He says in verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So it's funny that people want to throw away God's commandments and think that they don't apply to us today, but then they, you know, will say that, oh, well, you're not loving your neighbor because you're preaching against sodomy and against all this other sin. But it's like literally loving your neighbor as yourself is from the Levitical law, from Leviticus. It's from the Mosaic law. It's literally only quoted in the New Testament referencing the Old Testament law. And people want to, you know, talk about loving your neighbor, but they don't want to talk about the law which loving your neighbor comes from. And they also want to ignore the first and greatest commandment, according to Jesus, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, which is defined as keeping God's commandments in 1 John 5:3. So people are hypocritical because they don't understand what love is. Loving God with all your heart is to keep his commandments. And loving your neighbor, again, is to keep God's commandments, to not work any ill to your neighbor. That's why he said on these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. He's not saying these are the only two commandments that we're supposed to follow as Christians. He's just saying that this is a summary of God's law, right? Because if you love God, you're not going to do the things which displease God. And if you love your neighbor, you're not going to work ill to your neighbor. You're not going to harm your neighbor and do things which are unloving. But God defines what is loving and what's not by his commandments, right? But then people will say, oh, well, you're not loving because you're saying that, you know, people shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. And you're putting rules and bondage on people by saying they should follow the commandments. No, I'm not doing that because, you know, the Bible doesn't teach that the commandments of God are grievous. It says they're not grievous in 1 John 5:3. I hope I'm making sense. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really speaking as clearly today. I'm kind of stumbling a little bit in my words, but I'm trying my best to explain this concept because it's just ridiculous how people, you know, they don't know what love is according to the Bible. And then they'll attack us and say you're unloving, even though we preach the commandments of God, which according to the Bible is the most loving thing you could do. Leviticus 19 verses 17 to 18. This is where the Bible says, love your neighbor in the book of Leviticus. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Again, thy brother, right? Sodomites are not your brother, right? They're not children of God, right? Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So this is in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 18 is where God says that sodomy is an abomination. Leviticus 20 is where he says that they should be put to death. And he also says adulterers and people who commit incest and bestiality and, you know, sacrificing their children, etc. He also says that they should be put to death as well. And yet people say, well, because we preach the death penalty, we're unloving. Well, the same book, literally just a few verses before it gives the death penalty, is where love your neighbor comes from. So again, these people who say that, you know, we shouldn't put people to death and we shouldn't follow God's commandments and the law is done away with, but then they think we should still love our neighbor as ourselves, they're basically picking and choosing which parts of the Bible they want to believe. I believe both of them, but I believe what the Bible says love is, which is not suffering sin upon your neighbor, according to the Bible, meaning not allowing sin to rebuke your neighbor, right? To keep the commandments of God, to keep the law of God. This is what the Bible says that love is, based on the scriptures that we've read, right? So just another couple scriptures where the Bible commands us to hate evil, right? In Amos chapter 5, verse 15, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. And then Psalm 97, verse 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. So here are two commands where God says to hate evil. And he says, if you hate evil, you love the Lord. He says, hate the evil and love the good, right? So you can't have love without hate. And anybody who says that they love everybody and that they have no hatred is a liar, because oftentimes these people who will attack the new IFB, they obviously hate us and they literally make it their whole mission to destroy us and attack us constantly. And they're hypocrites because they'll be like, oh, you're so unloving, but then they hate us. It's like, well, you're unloving too then. Except the difference is we hate those who hate God. They hate God's people. So who's right in this scenario? That we as Christians hate wicked people who are doing abominations. We hate what God hates. And then these other people, they hate those that are good. As the Bible says about reprobates in 2 Timothy chapter 3, they're despisers of those that are good, right? So who's right in this situation? We're right because the Bible says God hates people. The Bible says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. The Bible says that, you know, if you love those that hate the Lord, God's wrath is upon you. The Bible tells us what love is, that it's keeping God's commandments, not working ill to your neighbor, not suffering sin upon your neighbor, but rebuking them instead. And loving your neighbor is part of the law. And yet people will say, well, you're preaching the commandments of God, you're preaching the death penalty, you don't love. No. We are loving, but we love the way that God loves, not the way that the world loves. So hopefully this all makes sense. But again, don't be brainwashed by this world. If you're a Christian, believe the Bible and do what the Bible says and stop denying it. So thank you, buddy, for watching. God bless you and have a nice rest of your day.